Hard act to follow. Good morning. We're going to spend some time this morning looking at Zechariah. And one of the things as I was going through and looking at the story of Zechariah kind of came, it reminded me of a character from another movie. And you're going to have to bear with me on this a little bit. One of my all-time favorite movies is The Princess Bride. And one of my favorite characters in The Princess Bride is Miracle Max. He has some great lines. One of his lines, "Sonny, true love is the greatest thing in the world, except for a nice MLT, mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, where the mutton is nice and lean and the tomato is ripe. So, so perky. I love that." And then a favorite that we always use in my house, "Have fun storming the castle. You think it'll work? It'd be a miracle. Bye-bye." One of the reasons that the character of Miracle Max reminded me of Zechariah is that in the movie The Princess Bride, Miracle Max was a very important character, a very small piece of the entire movie, but very important. Because in the context of the movie, when Wesley was brought to Miracle Max, he was mostly dead. And it took the pill from Miracle Max to bring him back. Without Miracle Max being there, the movie ends. That's the end of Wesley. In the story that we're going to look at today, as we look at the character of Zechariah, when we think of the Christmas story, Zechariah is not a major character. When we think of the birth of Jesus, Zechariah was not at the stable. He didn't come to visit the baby Jesus, at least not the night that he was born. We don't really hear a lot about him in the context of the Christmas story. But yet, he did play an important role. And we're going to look at that some today. The passage that we're going to look at is the Benedictus, Zechariah's song, which is found in Luke chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 67. Scripture says, "His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, 'Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he has said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace.'" Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for these words that you've given to us. Father, I pray that as we look at Zechariah, that we look at what he has said, what you have recorded for us to read here, to learn from, Father, I ask that you would speak to us. Father, I ask that you would speak through me, that you would change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of this passage of Scripture is the Benedictus. And the meaning of the Benedictus is actually the first part of the passage. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." Or as the translation that we have here today says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel." That's the literal translation of Benedictus. There are some churches where this passage is used as a reading on a regular basis. It's a song of praise to God. Last week, we looked at the Magnificat, another song of praise coming from Mary. It's a little more understandable why we look at this song from Mary, because she is an important part of the entire Christmas story. Why is this song from Zechariah so critical and so important for us to be looking at? Who was this guy? Well, Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, when we looked at the story last week, as Andrew taught about the Magnificat, Mary spoke that song of praise while she was visiting her cousin Elizabeth, who was John the Baptist's mother. So Zechariah was Elizabeth's husband, and as we look at his story earlier in Luke chapter 1, I'm just going to summarize some of it today. Jeff is going to cover more of it on Tuesday evening during our Christmas Eve service. But Zechariah and Elizabeth were older. They were an older couple. They didn't have children. Elizabeth was barren. Zechariah was a priest. He served in the temple. And both he and Elizabeth were the scripture says they were considered righteous. God counted their actions as righteous because they served God faithfully. Well, there was one day that Zechariah was called to go into the temple and to burn incense. And while he was in there, the angel Gabriel came to him and gave him a message. Guess what? You're going to have a baby. And the exact words that the angel said, your prayers have been heard. Zechariah and Elizabeth had been praying to have a child. And God was answering their prayer. So what was Zechariah's reaction? Yay, thank you, God! No. His reaction was, how can I be sure of this? Are you sure this is really going to happen? Now, this is an angel standing in front of him, telling him, God is answering your prayer. This is what you asked for. This is what you wanted. And yet still, Zechariah doubted what God was going to do. Because of his doubt, God took away Zechariah's voice. He came out from the temple, and no one knew what was going on. He couldn't tell them what had happened. Finally, someone brought him a tablet, and he was able to write some things down to try to explain what was going on. Finally, when it came time, when the baby was born, it came time to circumcise the child, he followed God's command. One of the things that the angel told Zechariah in the temple was, you will name the baby John. He named the child John. And at that point, he was able to speak again. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the words that are recorded in this passage of Scripture are the first words that he said when he got his voice back. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. Now keep in mind, Zechariah had not been able to speak for 9 months or so. During this entire time, God stopped his tongue from working. He could not speak. What's the first thing you would say if you were in his position? You may thank God for being able to speak. That would be a good thing. You may thank God for this baby that was just born. The baby was 8 days old. You know, you're ecstatic that you have a baby. You're in front of all these people. This big ceremony to circumcise the baby. The first thing that Zechariah says, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. Zechariah's first thought was, it's not about me. It's It's not about my baby. It's about God's plan for redemption. That was his focus. That's a model for us. Pointing the way to the Messiah should be our focus as well. As Andrew talked about last week with Mary, she got amazing news and she wanted to share it. She was just rejoicing. When we experience the love of Christ, we should want to share that news as well. We should want to point others to him. And then after Zechariah, it was the job of John the Baptist, his son, to carry on that work, to point others to Christ, to prepare the way for Christ and his ministry. Scripture says that earlier in Luke 1, that the people were filled with awe in what Zechariah was saying. They couldn't believe it. Number one, this miracle that he could speak again was an amazing thing. The miracle of the baby, because Zechariah and Elizabeth were older, couldn't have children. But they were in awe at the words that he was saying, because it just wasn't normal. It wasn't what most people would do. It wasn't how most people would think. As I thought about Zechariah and what had happened to him, a few things that I've realized. Number one is that God's truth will overcome our doubts. Zechariah was a man of faith. He was considered righteous. He was a priest in the temple. He was doing all of the right things. He served God faithfully. And yet, when the time came for him to really have to trust God, he doubted. He had prayed to have a child. God answered his prayer, and even then, he didn't believe. He's standing in front of an angel who's telling him, and yet he didn't believe. There's another man in Scripture that was very similar to Zechariah, a couple very similar to Zechariah and Elizabeth, Abraham and Sarah. Abraham is even mentioned in the Benedictus. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, Scripture says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir.' He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" Abraham wanted a child. He and Elizabeth were older. He and Sarah were older, couldn't have children. And yet God promised him, "You will have more children than there are stars in the sky. You will have a child that will be of your own flesh." That was the promise that God gave. A couple of chapters later, in Genesis 17, verse 17, Abraham and God are talking again, and it says, "Abraham fell face down. He laughed, and he said to himself, 'Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Abraham not only doubted God, he laughed at God, because he didn't believe that God would do what he said he would do. As a priest, Zechariah knew this story of Abraham. He knew everything that had happened. He knew that God was faithful to Abraham and Sarah. And yet, he doubted. When we doubt, when we don't see God working, we need to go back to Scripture. We need to see how God has worked in the past. Had Zechariah gone back to the Scripture, gone back to what he knew of Abraham, maybe he wouldn't have doubted. When my mom passed away, there was a portion of scripture that I clung to, and I read over and over and over again. And it was Psalm 77. In the beginning of that psalm, the writer is questioning God. God, what's going on? I'm in distress. I'm hurting. Are you there? Do you still love me? Are you still merciful? The writer of that psalm doubted God. But then in verse 10, it says, "Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds." You know what, God? I don't see you right now. I'm not sure what's going on. But you've never let me down before. I have this to see how you have worked. I have all of the things that you've done in the past that I can turn to know that you are faithful, to know that you love me, to know that you will do what you say that you are going to do. When our doubts and our questions start to come, we can turn to God's word to know that he is true. Zechariah's doubts eventually faded because he saw God's plan in action. He says in the Benedictus, "He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." At this point, Zechariah knew that the Messiah was going to be born. He had had the news that Mary was pregnant. He saw God's plan in action. He knew that God was working. And he was praising God for that. He's able to overcome his doubts because he was able to trust in God's truth. Another thing that I saw in Zechariah is that when we're faithful, when we take those steps of faith, we can overcome our fear. Even though Zechariah had doubted God and wasn't sure that all of this was really going to happen, in the end, he was faithful and he did what God asked him to do. He started by naming the baby John, as the angel had commanded him to do. In those days, it was against the cultural norms to name a baby something that was not a name that wasn't already in the family. And since Zechariah couldn't speak, when it came time to circumcise the baby and give the baby the name, they went to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth said, "We're going to name him John." And they said, "What? John? That's not a family name. Why are you going to name him that?" So they went to Zechariah to confirm that that was going to be the baby's name. And they brought him a tablet, and Zechariah said, "The baby's name will be John." And it's at that point that he was able to speak. He was faithful. The people were astonished. They were astonished that he was going to choose this name. It was so far outside of the cultural norms. But he had to take that step of faith in order for God to restore him. A couple of months ago, I had the incredible privilege to travel to Transnistria with the team to minister at the Tabruchi Orphanage. The truth of the matter is, a couple of weeks before we were ready to leave, I was extremely close to not going. At that point, the beginning of October, I was in a very pretty unique situation with my job. As a federal employee, the government was shut down. But it was a weird situation for me because I still had a job. I was still considered employed. I just didn't have any money coming in. I wasn't allowed to go out and get another job because of federal ethics rules. As a federal employee, we just can't go out and take on another job. We need to get it approved by ethics officials. And all of my ethics officials were shut down, and so I couldn't even go to them to get an opinion. It was a really weird situation. With the uncertainty of all of that, I was struggling with going on this trip, traveling 5,000 miles from my family, leaving them behind with really no paychecks coming in because of the shutdown. And I really struggled with that. I talked with my wife, Patty, quite a bit about it, and she chastised me. She told me, "You're going." You know, that there was no doubt in her mind that I was going to go on this trip. But I was scared. I was scared for my family. What if something happened? What if something happened with the house? What if something happened with one of the kids? What if something happened with Patty and she needed help? You know, with all of this stuff going on, what was going to happen? I doubted God. I didn't believe that he was big enough to take care of my family when I wasn't there. And that's what was going on in my heart. I didn't really believe that God would be there. I thought it was really up to me to do that. A couple of weeks before we left on the trip, we sang a song in here, a song called Always. And that song has a line that says, "I will not fear, his promise is true, my God will come through always." And as I was standing here and singing that song, the words that Dom usually asks came into my head. Do you really believe this? Do you really believe these words? And I had to ask myself, do I really believe that I don't have to fear? That God's promises are true? That he will always come through? Do I believe that? And I was able to answer yes. I was able to say, yes, God, I do believe that if I go on this trip, that you will be there to take care of my family should anything happen. Doesn't mean I still wasn't scared, that I wasn't worried. In the back of my mind, there were still things. Thankfully, the day before we were scheduled to leave, the government shutdown ended. I was back to work, things kind of got back to normal, but there were still a lot of questions about how we were going to be paid, when we were going to be paid. There was still some fear, but I took that step of faith and said, you know what, God, this is what you've asked me to do. If you want me to go, I'm going to go. And he blessed that. In Psalm 18, starting in verse 25, it says, "To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure, but to the devious you show yourself shrewd." God is faithful. he will always be faithful. Zechariah experienced that faithfulness, but first, he had to take the step of faith. He needed to move and do what the angel had commanded him to do, what God had asked him to do. Started with naming the baby John. As a dad, I can only imagine what Zechariah must have been feeling as he held the baby in his arms. And I imagine that even as he was praising God and saying the words of the Benedictus, that he was holding the baby, and when he got to the part that says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Lord Most High, for you will go on before the Lord and prepare the way for him to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." Imagine just holding the baby in your arms and just saying those words. "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Lord Most High." To know that, because that's what God had told him, that this baby would be a prophet. As a dad, we all want, I want the best for my kids. It blows my mind to think of what Zechariah must have been thinking and feeling, to know that God had this mapped out already and had told him, "This is what is going to happen with your child. He is going to be a prophet." Zechariah, because he had taken that step of faith and seen God working in all of this, knew it was going to be true. Zechariah's experience and his praise through this is different from what Mary had gone through. Mary's experience, Mary's song of praise, was for events that were yet to come. She didn't know exactly how it was all going to play out. She'd been visited by the angel. She knew what the angel had told her, but she hadn't experienced it yet. Zechariah was looking backwards. The angel said, "You're going to have a baby." Well, the baby was there. He was looking back. He was able to see God's faithfulness in fulfilling what he said he was going to do. That's an exciting thing. And Zechariah also knew that all of this was about God's plan for redemption, a way for God's people to be saved. In verse 68, he says, "He has come to his people and redeemed them." Christ came to this earth. Christ gave up his divinity. He was born as a baby, grew to be a man. He walked among us. He died a painful death, and through God's power, he overcame that death to rise again 3 days later. Through faith, we can participate in that same power, and we can overcome death to live with God forever. When we know that and we experience that, we should also be saying, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel." We should be praising God for that amazing news, for his amazing love. Because that's really what it is. Zechariah was praising God. He was grateful to play a role in pointing people towards the way of salvation. He wasn't the one preparing the way for the Messiah. That was going to be his son. But yet he still played a role in that. What part do we play in pointing people to Christ? What role do we have? Do we play a role? Or do we let our doubts and our fears stop us from sharing God's amazing love with the people that we know? As we anticipate celebrating during this Christmas season, we're going to celebrate Christ's birth. We need to focus on how we can point others to the manger. And the manger points to the cross, and the cross to the empty tomb, and the empty tomb leads to salvation. God is faithful, and God is true. Through him, we can overcome all of the doubts and the fears that we have that stop us from doing what he has called us to do. Zechariah didn't let his doubts and fears stop him. He was able to overcome those doubts and fears, take that step of faith, and raise his son John to be the prophet to prepare the way of the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, as we meditate this Christmas season on all that you've done, on all that you are, Father, help us to remember that it's not just about us. It's not just about what you have done for me, but what you have done for all of us. Father, give us courage. Give us understanding. Help us to overcome the doubts and the fears that we have in sharing your word with others. Help us to be like Zechariah, who pointed people to the Messiah, and the people were amazed. They were amazed at what he said. Father, I pray that we too would just share your amazing love with those we know, that we would point people to the great story that you have written simply because you love us. Be with us during this Christmas time. In Jesus' name.